What up, son? It's the tale of the tapes. The fuck life. Saying? Hi, tale of the tapes. Season 3, episode 3. On today's episode, we'll be covering Dragon and Brother Ali. So let's hop right into my opinions and expectations on Dragon and Brother Ali. So, not only are these two polar opposites in every way when it comes to hip-hop, but so was my opinion and expectations of them. I remember having Dragon's debut solo album, and I enjoyed it for the most part, but to be honest with you, I wasn't even sure if Dragon ever came out with another album after that. So this goes to show you how influenced I was by the mainstream at this young age when I first got into hip-hop. I mostly only knew what was being thrown in my face, and if it wasn't thrown in my face by one of the major labels I followed, you know, whatever, Bad Boy, Rockefeller, Rough Riders, we all know the big hot labels in the 90s, I probably didn't know about it. So when Dragon didn't do well going forward, I wasn't even sure if he existed anymore as far as music was concerned. Funny thing I do have to mention before we move on to Brother Ali is that my cousin Chucky, who has been featured on episodes before and will make at least one more appearance on the show very soon, probably more than one appearance on the show, he was very vocal about me getting up to Dragon. From about 1995 on, this kid would just constantly say, "I can't wait till you get to Dragon. He's going to piss you off. He's going to piss you off." And, I mean, listen, like, he would explain and stuff, but I never really understood why he said this, but I took his word for it. You know, he's a very big Rough Riders stablemate fan. DMX is his favorite rapper of all time and stuff like that. So it wasn't that I necessarily disagreed with him, but I just didn't totally know why he kept harping on this subject. But his logic was that Dragon was extremely inconsistent and frustrating. So we'll have to wait till we get to covering Dragon shortly to find out if his prediction was accurate or not. But first, let's talk about Brother Ali a little bit. And it will only be a little bit because I have pretty much zero to offer for Brother Ali as far as opinions and expectations are concerned. I had heard his name before, but never heard a song or even a verse of his for that matter prior to starting this study. I must admit, though, if an underground albino white Muslim did enough in the hip-hop game to even make the amount of noise for me to hear his name and make this cut, I had to assume he had to be pretty good or have some intangible that he brought to the table that got him to where he is. So again, polar opposite views there on the two, as one I was into even though he may have fallen off and I was warned that he may annoy me, and the other one I knew absolutely nothing of, but assumed he had to be pretty good. Both of these artists had their debut solo albums out in the year 2000, but Dragon was out first, so we'll start off with him. His birth name is Melvin Smalls, born in New York City, United States. Genres are listed as hip-hop, and his years active are listed as 1997 to present. So, very short, sweet, and to the point there. Nothing at all stand out or out of the ordinary, so let's move on to some background info on Dragon and see if we can find out any additional information. Melvin Smalls, known professionally as Dragon, is an American rapper. He is best known for his time on Rough Riders, through whom he released his debut album, Opposite of H2O, in the year 2000. The album was successful, debuting at number 5 on the US Billboard 200 chart, and eventually sold over 500,000 copies and earning a gold certification from the Recording Industry Association of America. After leaving Interscope Records, which issued his debut alongside Rough Riders, Dragon joined Virgin Records and released his second album, Hell and Back, in 2004. Dragon has appeared in the 2001 film Exit Wounds and the 2003 film Cradle to the Grave, both of which starred his then Rough Riders label mate DMX. So again, nothing too out of the ordinary, pretty straightforward and to the point, and not really a lot there that really gave us much info on Dragon that we didn't already have, so I guess we'll move right on to my write-up of Dragon and see what I had to say. I was very intrigued to do Dragon because I enjoyed his debut solo album and was a Rough Riders fan in general. That being said, Dragon never seemed to get the same type of traction as his stablemates, and I didn't know much of him. He was extremely inconsistent from verse to verse and even bar to bar. He had some clever wordplay and punchlines, but usually used shortcuts to make most of them and was only mediocre at holding a topic. On top of that, he had some iffy lines and quite frankly just didn't make sense sometimes, leaving him just barely at average lyrically overall. Somewhat expectedly, Dragon had a very small body of work, registering only 3 albums for scoring. To his credit, all 3 were good albums. Of his only 47 song total, none were neither great nor weak, but he did have 12 good ones. As touched on earlier, while Dragon was part of a major label movement at the time, he found himself as one of the least popular and commercially successful artists in that circle. Mix that with the fact that to date, there have been no clear visible influences on any other hip-hop artists, and Drag falls just short of average in the impact department. When it came to originality, there was a bit of give and take. While his message and content may not have been overly original, his voice, delivery, rhyme style, and beat selection were. It also needs to be taken into account that even through a small catalog, he did still manage to take a significant amount from other artists, especially DMX and Biggie. So again, that kind of sounds like a generally average right up there for Dragon with a bit of give and take, and that seems to be a pretty common trend here so far early into season 3. We've yet to have a very high or very low finish at all this entire season, which is the exact opposite of what the 90s was for the most part. 75% of the 90s felt like you were either in the bottom 25 or the top 25. Here in the new millennium, a lot of mediocre scores and finishes, so it'll be interesting to see if that trend continues, but for now, let's jump into the math on Dragon and see where he winds up. Lyrics, he gets a 5, and, you know, I spoke about this earlier, and listen, kudos to my cousin, bro. He called this shit, and I don't, you know, he predicted this to me for a long time, and, you know, I don't think my cousin is somebody that really sits there and studies hip-hop or anything like that, but he's pretty well-versed in music in general, listens to a lot of different genres. He's certainly nowhere near up to par with what I am as far as hip-hop is concerned, but then again, I don't really think very many people are, and I'm not saying that to brag, but I mean, who has really sat here and analyzed to the T every word that 450 artists have spoken, whether it be on records or in interviews or whatever the case is? So I'm not trying to knock him when I say that, but, you know, I don't think he's necessarily like a hip-hop connoisseur, but in general, he listens to pretty good artists when it comes to hip-hop. And listen, I don't crucify anybody for liking shitty artists. I don't care. Your 5 favorite artists could have not even made the cut in here or finish horribly, technically speaking. I don't care who you like, man. There are some people that are in the bottom 10 that I like Master P and stuff like that. So I'm not trying to criticize anybody for the people they like. I'm sure there's a couple of quote-unquote shitty rappers that my cousin likes, whose episode he'll probably be on coming up very shortly, hint, hint. But, you know, I mean, I'm just speaking on his general ability to recognize when somebody is terrible or somebody is good. And most people don't have the ability to separate their opinions from what the actual reality is. He does, so I'll give him credit for that also. Like, he'll sit there and tell you, you know, I like this dude. I really like his songs, or I like his style, or I like his sound, or whatever it is that he likes about him. But he's not good, he'll tell you. You know what I'm saying? Or vice versa. I hate this dude. I know he's probably technically pretty good, but I just don't fucking like him. So I do give him credit for those things. So, you know, I got to give him credit here. He did call that Dragon was extremely inconsistent. And, you know, when I sat down and studied him, not only was he inconsistent from verse to verse, but even from bar to bar. I mean, you know, he would have some one or two lines where, you know, there's some clever wordplay or a decent punchline, but within the mix of doing that, he kind of had to take like a shortcut to make the clever wordplay, or he had to use a shortcut to get that punchline in there. You know, he was mediocre at being able to hold a topic. He definitely had some iffy lines where he, you know, he would say like some quote-unquote punchline, and you're like, man, come on, like, that's a reach, you know what I'm saying? He had some lines where, honestly, I was just like, what is this dude saying? Where he just didn't make any sense. And that's kind of what my cousin was trying to express to me, is that he's going to say some things that kind of catch your attention where you're like, oh, okay, Drag. And then he's going to follow it with something where you're like, what the fuck did he just say? Like, I got to rewind that and make sure I just heard that correctly. So a lot of give and take there with Dragon. Very inconsistent. Like I said, not only from verse to verse, but even bar to bar. There wasn't really that much material for him to be that inconsistent and really get anywhere. You know what I mean? Because anytime he did something good, he simultaneously did something bad, or probably immediately after did something bad, or maybe immediately prior did something bad. And that was kind of constant, and only 3 albums and 47 songs. So there really wasn't much there for him to kind of take off and abandon, you know, one side of that and go in one direction for a long period of time. He kind of was just very inconsistent throughout almost all 47 songs for the most part. So never really able to climb above or below average. So he gets an average score of 5 in the lyrics department there. Albums, he gets a 3.96 with 0 classics. And listen, it's a good score. It's nothing special, but it's a good score. Like we spoke about, only 3 albums. All 3 of those albums were good albums. So I want to use this opportunity to point something out really quickly too, because I talk about people's consistencies and their inconsistencies. And it's not as simple as just saying so-and-so is consistent or so-and-so is inconsistent. There's so many different factors to being consistent or inconsistent. So when you talk about albums for Dragon, right, extremely consistent. 100% of his albums are good albums. Now listen, did he have 25 albums? No. So when somebody is consistent, it's more impressive when you're consistent over a long period of time. Now, if you're consistently bad over a long period of time, that's obviously not impressive. But if you have 25 albums and they're all good, that's certainly more impressive than having 3 albums and them all being good. But nonetheless, that being said, you had 3 albums, 3 of them were good albums. So 100% of your work was good. That's obviously consistent. Again, you didn't necessarily have to hold that consistency for a very long period of time, but you still were very consistent. So when it came to albums, Dragon, very consistent. When it came to songs, a little bit more inconsistent. When it came to verses, even more inconsistent. And when it came to just bar A versus bar B, that's where he was most inconsistent. So when you got more specific with Dragon, the more inconsistent he got. When you kind of stepped back and look at an overall picture, he was a little bit more consistent there and was consistently good on all of those albums, so to speak. Songs, he gets a 0, which again, you know, it's consistent to a certain extent. There really was no extremes for Dragon, and that kind of came from his inconsistency. So you see what I'm saying? His inconsistency from bar to bar prevented him from really ever hitting a great song or a weak song, because every time he'd do something good, he'd do something bad. And listen, it wasn't exactly every time, and it wasn't exactly even, but for the most part it was. So how do you really get to a great song when every time you do something really good, you're probably doing something shitty somewhere along in that verse or in the next couple of bars or maybe even within those bars? So the inconsistency kind of led to the overall consistency. So no great songs, no weak songs, only 47 songs in total. 12 of them were good. The majority of them were average, but he did have 12 good songs, but that doesn't really affect the song score, so to speak. That is based off of great song percentage versus weak song percentage. One gets minus from the other, but no great songs, no weak songs here for Dragon through 47 songs. So he stays at a 0 in the songs department, which, listen, it would be nice to get points here, right? But staying at a 0 is certainly better than losing points in the only department where you can lose points here. And people certainly have lost a tremendous amount of points in their songs department. So it's not like it never happened. So listen, nothing special there for Dragon, but again, he's not losing any points. So Impact, he gets a 4.5. And like I spoke about, you know, you have to, again, look at everything here. So yes, Dragon had a bit of success with his first album, but that was the only album that really had success. It wasn't a major amount of success. He only had 3 albums in total, and no clear visible influences on any other artist to date. So keeping all that in mind, I think it leans towards the below average, right? And then you have to take into consideration the label that he was signed at. So, yes, he does get credit for being part of a major label movement at the time in Rough Riders, right? Because you had to be of a certain level or a certain caliber to even be signed to Rough Riders at that time. But again, he was one of the least popular and commercially successful artists in that circle. So, you know, again, it's a bit of give and take there, and you have to take both things into consideration. But I think those factors, coupled with the other things that we brought up, it leaves Dragon at just below average in the impact department. So he gets a 4.5 there. And then originality, he gets a 7. And again, while there was a bit of give and take here for Dragon, and this was a little bit more extreme to where his message and his overall content and stuff like that weren't very original at all. I mean, the things that he was talking about wasn't necessarily very original. You know, the overall message and image that he was portraying as an artist wasn't overly original. But his voice, his delivery, his rhyme style, some of like the things that he said, and even his beat selection were rather original. So it's like his overall sound, you know, again, big picture, was pretty original. But there were definitely some things mixed in there about Dragon that were relatively unoriginal. But I think overall, when you keep all of it in mind, there were definitely more things that were original, and more predominant things that were original, you know, boosting Dragon up to a 7 as opposed to bringing him below average in the originality department. So again, there were some factors that were unoriginal, but for the most part, Dragon, a pretty original artist. So he gets a score of 7 in the originality department. So now you add all 5 of those numbers up and you divide by 5, which is the number of categories. And that gives you a final rating of 4.90, which puts Dragon in an 8-way tie for 139th place of 213 artists done overall. So definitely not a strong finish there for Dragon, falling behind that halfway marker. And I do have to give my cousin credit again here. Not only did he predict that Dragon was very inconsistent, which he was, but he also predicted that Dragon would finish second worst of the entire Rough Riders stable, which is a pretty random prediction to even make. And at this current point in time, he is now the second worst Rough Riders stablemate, with only 2 other Rough Riders artists left, both of which I predict are going to finish way higher than Dragon, which would have him nail that prediction head on. So props to Chucky on that one for sure. And for the record, I think the only reason Dragon didn't overly frustrate me was because of the small size of his catalog. I felt like it was over before I even got a chance to be overly frustrated, to be honest with you. But definitely not trying to shit on Dragon at all here, honestly. I'm just cracking jokes because of my cousin's predictions, but as I stated earlier, I not only had but liked Dragon's debut solo album, and that's certainly nowhere near the worst finish we've seen, so shoutouts to Dragon and the whole Rough Riders label, no question. Oh, and by the way, if you didn't notice, I did say that that put Dragon in an 8-way tie for what is now our most popular finishing spot in the study to date, which is occupied by Salt-N-Pepa, MC Shan, Havoc of Mobb Deep, Big Syke, Jermaine Dupri, and Ja Rule, just for the record. I just wanted to let you know, we typically do that when the artists that someone's tied with have already been covered. I like to let you guys know who they're tied with. I do think it's just interesting sometimes. I mean, when you make a list, right, and you say, oh, these are my top 100 MCs of all time. I mean, would you really, not that they're in the top 100, but I'm just, saying random numbers, trying to make a point here. Do you think that you would sit there and make up an 8-way tie with Salt-N-Pepa, MC Shan, Havoc, Big Syke, Jermaine Dupri, Ja Rule, and Dragon? There's no way you would ever entangle those artists together in one spot like that. So I do think it's, pretty cool looking at who some of these people wind up in a tie with, especially when they're polar opposites. So just want to let you guys know that. Now, let's break down the less commercially popular Brother Ali. His birth name is Jason Douglas Newman, born July 30th, 1977, in Madison, Wisconsin, United States. Origins listed as Minneapolis, Minnesota, United States. Genres are listed as hip-hop, and his years active are listed as 1994 to present. So Brother Ali, one of only two artists to be from Wisconsin, both of which were very recent, and also only one of two rappers to have his place of origin or birth be listed as Minneapolis or anywhere in Minnesota for that matter. So right off the bat, we can see before even getting overly into Brother Ali that just the fact that he's an albino white Muslim rapper from Madison, Wisconsin, he certainly appears to be rather unique already. So let's check out some background info on Brother Ali and see if there's anything else interesting there. Ali Douglas Newman, born Jason Douglas Newman, July 30th, 1977, better known by his stage name Brother Ali, is an American rapper, community activist, and member of the Rhymesayers Entertainment Hip Hop Collective. He has released 7 albums, 4 EPs, and a number of singles and collaborations. So again, a very short, sweet, and to-the-point background there on Brother Ali, and I kind of expected that, as he's not necessarily the most popular artist ever. But nonetheless, let's get into my synopsis of Brother Ali and see how that sounds. I must admit, although I knew nothing of Brother Ali aside from his name, I was very pleasantly surprised by him. Early on, I could tell he had potential, but was inconsistent from song to song. He was very good with both rhyme schemes and syllables, but used shortcuts sometimes. He was also good at telling stories and great at being able to keep a topic throughout a song. It was clear that Brother Ali was a student of the game who got better with time and had a good amount of deep, meaningful, knowledgeable gems, leaving him as a good lyricist overall. While Brother Ali's catalog wasn't huge, it wasn't small either, and it was always quality. Of his 9 total albums, 1 was a classic, 6 were great, and the other 2 were borderline good/great albums. Almost 10 albums, classic material, and your worst material is arguably great? Extremely inconsistently impressive numbers when it comes to albums from Brother Ali, no question. Of his 116 qualified songs, not a single one was weak, while 6 were great and another 66 were good. That makes almost 2/3 of Brother Ali's total songs catalog good or better, which again is consistently impressive. While it was clear there were certainly some other artists listening to Brother Ali, there were no clear-cut inspirations to list thus far. On top of that, he isn't a household name, nor has he had any major commercial mainstream success. However, what he lacked in impact, he made up for in originality. From his image to some song concepts and messages, Brother Ali was never anyone except himself and was clearly not afraid to go against the grain. So far, probably one of, if not the best and least mediocre write-ups we've had of the season so far, so props to Brother Ali for that, but let's break down the math here and see where it landed him at the end of the day. Lyrics, he gets a 7, which actually makes Brother Ali the highest scoring lyricist thus far in the new millennium. I don't know that that will hold up, but through a couple of weeks here early in season 3, this does land Brother Ali as the best lyricist so far. And honestly, this was one of those things where as soon as I heard Brother Ali, right, I could tell, like, okay, this dude is clearly capable of doing some really dope stuff, but he would have other times where I don't know whether he was trying to find his way or, you know, just had such an abstract style that it was costing him a little bit, but there was a bit of give and take early on. The good definitely outweighed the bad, but the point that I'm trying to make is I could tell that if he would clean things up just a little bit as time went on, he really had potential to be really, really good lyrically. He was very good with both rhyme schemes and syllables, for sure, no doubt about that. There were times that he did use shortcuts, but I mean, it was small in comparison to the good things that he did. He was also good at telling stories. He was great at being able to keep a topic throughout a song. And he got better with time. You know, it was, like I said, it was something that I was hoping for early on because I could see the potential with him. And you really never know what direction that's going to go. Like, somebody can take that potential and just go totally abstract and out of left field and be like, man, what the hell did this guy do? You know, and vice versa. Somebody could have potential and just kind of never really live up to it. And it's like, damn, man, I really thought this guy was going to be something dope as time went on. But He still is just making these same errors or having these same struggles or problems, but not the case with Brother Ali. I hoped he would tighten things up as time went on, and he certainly did. Improved on some of the things that he was already doing well, tightened up some of the, you know, little mishaps that he was having, and he had a really good amount of deep, meaningful, knowledgeable things that he said where, you know, even if they weren't rhyming or there wasn't anything technically impressive going into them, just what he was saying was, there was just so much to be gained from some of the things that he said that, you know, that alone coupled with a lot of the other positive things that he was able to do technically, there's no doubt about it. Brother Ali was a good lyricist, so he gets a solid score of 7 in the lyrics department there. Albums, he gets a 5.57 with one classic. And that's a great album score there, man, overall, honestly. I mean, we spoke about it before. 9 albums in total. 6 great albums. The other 2 were good/great albums right on that border. And then he's got the one classic on top of it. So, really, really impressive stuff there for Brother Ali when it came to albums. No doubt about that. Songs, he gets a plus 0.52. Again, like we said, 116 qualified songs for Brother Ali. 6 great songs, which came out to be about 5% of his material. So you move the decimal place over. No weak songs, so nothing that a minus it that gives you a plus 0.52. Another 66 good songs on top of that, which made 2/3 of Brother Ali's song catalog good or better. Which, again, the good songs doesn't necessarily factor into the song score, so to speak. That's great minus by weak, but the good songs certainly factors into his album score, and it certainly factors into the impressive stat that 2/3 of his material is good or better. So, you know, not a full point there in the songs department for Brother Ali, but just above a half a point. So probably not really significant on his final score, but, you know, getting to that point where it's starting to become significant. And again, you're adding points. That's over a half a point, whereas Dragon, you know, broke even with a 0. Some other people lose points. You know, if Brother Ali had 6 weak songs, that's minus a 0.52. And that comes out to be a difference of 1.04. So that certainly is significant. So, you know, when you factor all things in, you know, it's solid that he's getting a half a point there in the songs department. Impact, he gets a 4.5. Impact, he gets a 4.5, and again, that's kind of just keeping all things into consideration. An underground artist here, no doubt about it. So obviously, going to be limited as far as mainstream commercial success and things like that. Don't really think it was Brother Ali's goal. Not the most popular underground artist, but, you know, definitely has a following. 9 albums, 116 qualified songs, so I didn't think Brother Ali deserved to go all the way down to a 4, but he is pushing it. He's very close to a 4 in this department, and I think the one thing that pushes him closer to a 4 than a 5 is the fact that there were no clear-cut inspirations so far on his list of names of artists that he's influenced. So when you're an underground artist with little to no mainstream commercial success and you also don't have any names on your list of artists influence, that does start to push you near that 4 category. But I thought a decent underground following coupled with the fact that he did have 9 albums and 116 songs kept him right around that just below average mark of 4.5 there in the impact department for Brother Ali. And then originality, he gets an 8.5. like I said, you know, almost everything about this guy was very original. Now, obviously, when you have white people in hip-hop, that does have to, in some way, shape, or form, affect your originality score. Now, I don't know if that alone affects it to the point of the actual number being moved, but it is certainly something to take into consideration. You are involved in a different ethnicity and a different culture's art form. Now, you could have been raised in the projects, in the gutter, in the ghetto, you know, heavily, heavily outnumbered by black people. You know, you might have been the only white dude in your hood. So I'm not trying to make it sound like you are totally out of your element because you're rapping. That is not what I'm trying to say. But again, this is an art form that was created by a different ethnicity of people. So when you decide that you're going to devote yourself to quote unquote somebody else's art form, it's not the most original thing to do. Again, will that even affect you overall, depending on what else you did? Maybe not. If that's something that's thrown in there as like a dagger in the heart, like a super unoriginal dude that just, you know, copied everything that everybody did and he was white and all this and that, I mean, that's different. Then that's going to, yeah, that's going to slam you down a little bit lower. Not the case in Brother Ali. I do just want to point out that that is one of the only things, aside from the fact that he did sample a lot. Again, I don't want to hammer people for sampling a lot, because sampling a lot, you know, sampling is a part of hip-hop. Turntablism and scratching and stuff like that, this is a part of hip-hop. So again, when you're a student of the game and you're paying homage to people that came before you and paying homage to the culture and stuff like that, fact of the matter is, bro, you're probably going to have some samples scratched into your music. Some people that use certain producers like Pete Rock or people like that, or DJ Premier, who tend to sample a lot, these people are probably throwing samples in there for you. So while you may not have personally necessarily picked that or been influenced by that artist, that song as is couldn't have been created without that artist. So that does have to be taken into consideration. It does have to be factored in. So, you know, everything about Brother Ali, for the most part, from his image, you know, like I said, a white albino Muslim, the place he was from, his image, song concepts, his message overall, the fact that he was never anyone except himself, and he clearly was not afraid to go against the grain of what was considered the norm in hip-hop, all these things bode in his favor. The fact that he sampled a lot, the fact that he was a white dude and, you know, engulfed himself in a predominantly black industry, those things do have to be taken into consideration. But very, very, very impressive stuff there for Brother Ali in the originality department. So he gets a really solid score of an 8.5 there. So now you add all those 6 numbers up. 6 because he did have the classic album. So you add the lyric score, the album score, the classic, the 1 point for the classic album, the song score, the impact score, and the originality score. And you divide by 5, which is the number of categories we have. And that gives you a final rating of 5.42, which puts Brother Ali in a tie for 37th place of 213 artists done overall. So that's not only a pretty solid finish there for Brother Ali, but it's actually the best finish we've had thus far in the new millennium. Not only that, but Brother Ali did this with a just below average score in the impact department, which makes this finish even all the more impressive. So shout outs to Brother Ali, man. That should land him probably around top 75 when this is all said and done, which is pretty crazy. So like I said, definite shout outs to Brother Ali, who was a very original artist who did his thing for sure. So at this point, we're 3 episodes in, and you're probably aware we're only going to run through the list on the last episode of each month, which will be episode 5, covering Sauce Money and Nelly, which will air January 31st. And again, we'll be implementing a new list this season of the top 3 female artists so far, so definitely some exciting things to come. Again, these lists are all in writing on the Tale of the Tapes Facebook page. If you're interested, the Facebook page is www.facebook.com/Tale of the Tapes Podcast. You can just give that page a like and a follow to stay up to date, interact with the podcast, give ideas and predictions, stuff like that. You can also give the host website a visit, which is www.anchor.fm/Tale of the Tapes. Both of those links are spelled completely normally. On the host website, you'll see a support button. You should probably just hit it and donate money to me. Other than that, man, that'll do it for episode 3 here today. On next week's episode, we'll be covering Half a Mil and Dilated Peoples. So some more underground type artists here than anything. So I think this episode should be interesting. Tale of the Tapes. Peace.
Tale of the Tapes. Might as well.